You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, baby, we sit right on the verge of a great and powerful weekend. Welcome to all of you. Thanks for getting up this morning and jumping here with us. This is going to be a powerful show. Somebody said, well, Coach, your shows are always powerful. I'm just telling you, this is going to be a powerful show. Had four guys spend the night here last night. Actually, they were here most of the day yesterday. Guys have come in from Vic flew in from El Paso, and Philip flew in from, I assume, Dallas, and Craig drove in all the way from Missouri, and Paul flew in from Maine, and we were all together yesterday for all together. You know, I think that's why the scriptures say that in the multitude of many counsels is great wisdom. Paul's getting ready to pull up in here. You can just sit there and look funny for a minute, Paul, and we'll get you in here. You know, this is a little bit of an unusual show because I really haven't done a whole lot of show prep other than Chappaqua. And I want to say a couple of things before you're going to hear from all these guys, because the Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. Paul, you can put this in and you can listen to any feedback we have. Mm-hmm. Overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, love not their own lives, even to the point of death. We were chewing over that even this morning as we got up this morning, trying to analyze why are we, number one, why are we so afraid? Why are we not effective in the battle? Why is the left pushing us around? All those things what has gone on? We are the most powerful force in the universe. Spirit-filled Christians, the most powerful force in the universe. We're tucking tail and running and afraid to fight. And there's a lot of things and a lot of reasons involved. And the emails that I get from people saying, oh, Coach, you know, don't go there. Here's what you need to do, Coach. You need to go down and stand on the border. Or Coach, no, don't go to the stand. Coach, we got to go block those people at the libraries. Coach, you can't be doing that. Coach, you can't be doing that. Coach, we got to go over and we got to stop this. And I said, man, oh, man. The Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do. Can't some of you out there just, damn it, do one thing? Quit analyzing everything. Do one thing. You don't even do it. Not only don't you do it, you criticize those of us who do.
Well, that's not the way.
That's not organized enough. Have you done this? Have you checked this? No, I haven't. No, I'm not. I've grabbed my spear. I got my stones in the bag, and I got a sling in the other, and I'm running to the target. I don't know if it's organized. I don't know whether I got the right what. Do I have the proper stones? I mean, are they shaped the right way? Do they fit my slingshot? Will he have a helmet on? Have you practiced? Have you ducked? What if he turns around? What if he goes the other way? What if there's three people? I don't know. I'm going to run and I'm going to fight. That's what I'm going to do. And it may not line up with the way that you would do it. Well, I've got to tell you something. You naysayers out there, you just suck energy out of people. You ain't going to do it to me. Suck energy, suck the life right out of people with how bad everything's going to be. Where's Robert Shuler when with him with his positive thinking, possibility thinking? We don't have any possibility thinking anymore in America. None. I'm going to shut up because we're gone, man. And I'm telling you, the Lord's – hang on, Paul. I hear you bursting there. The Lord's going to do something. He's going to take this sacrifice that we're giving him, and he's going to do something with it. Now, is it the right – is it going to be earth-changing, life-changing? I don't know. But I know this. Scripture says this. Whatever he says unto you – do. You know what he told me to do? Go to Chappaqua. And so I did it. Now, if he doesn't honor that, it's him, not me. I heard what he told me to do. I went once. He told me to go again. I'm going again. And you bloodsuckers, shut the hell up. Will you shut the hell up? My mom said, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything. My emails light up with all you negative thinkers. Craziness. I'm going to bring Paul Medora on here. I'm going to give every one of these guys a little bit of chance to share their heart and what brought them here. Paul's come. Are you guys sitting down? Hang on. He's Catholic. He's Catholic. But he's fierce. He hates sin. He hates the forces of darkness.
Debauchery.
And I'll stand beside Paul anytime, anywhere. I don't agree with his theology. He knows I don't. But he says, Coach, can we lay down the sword against each other? And can we run towards the same target? We can win like that. Paul, come on in here. He flew all the way from Maine.
Praise God. Amen.
He flew all the way from Maine just to be with us. He said he needed to be around some like-minded men. And he's going to drive 8 hours with us. And I'm just going to give Paul Madore, M-A-D-O-R-E, which, by the way, Victor, the Hispanic, where is he? He's Victor's like a virus. He's everywhere. You know, you look around there, he's there.
He's techie. He's very
familiar. And he said, Paul said, Paul had introduced himself to him, Paul Madore. And Victor said, oh, Madore. Right? What? And what did he say that was?
He who loves God.
He who loves God. That's what Madore says. Paul Madore loves God. Now, Paul, you may have to get a little bit closer so they can hear you. But just, brother, just talk about what's on your hat. And by the way, that's not his hat. I'd give him a better hat. I'll get him a good one. But he just grabbed one off the
shelf. It's a little undersized.
I could have put this one on, but whatever. We'll get you going. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, no, I wanted to comment what you were saying. It's human pride that gets these people to try to dissuade you from doing the right thing. It's without a doubt that it's the greatest impediment we have to face as leaders. And it is about leadership. And we've got the leadership in Coach and in Mike Heath and myself, I think, and others. But it's human pride, false human pride.
You've been in this fight for 30 years, haven't you, Paul?
Yeah, I have.
Talk about it, man. You got 10 minutes to tell people what's going on from the way you see it. And by the way, Paul, are there Catholic brothers out there who are willing to fight? That's all. I don't care if they're praying to Mary. I don't care, Paul. Are they willing?
Absolutely.
To,
okay. Yes, there are. There are many, many men out there, many Catholic men who are very concerned about their families, know that they can't live in a bubble, that they have to, transform society. And they're doing it in a lot of ways. But this is another important avenue that we can give them to be on the front line, because they're good thinkers. They're not just thinkers, they're doers. They're men of God, and they're fearless.
What's been the problem, Paul? As you see it, as a guy who was in the battle with Mike Heath for 30 years, what are we facing? Listen, we got to quit talking about how good and how deceptive the enemy is and focusing in on how well he's playing and do play-by-play analysis of what the enemy's doing. What is it that's stopping the Paul Madores of the world from getting involved and going forward, Paul?
Hey, coach.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah.
I'm going to give a one-minute introduction to the most fearless man I've ever met in my life, Paul Madore. I met him in the early 90s in his hometown of Lewiston, Maine. We had just lost to the Sodomites in Portland, Maine. And the Sodomites said, we're going to take Lewiston next, because Lewiston is populated by conservative French Catholic immigrants that came down 100 years ago. And so the Sodomites targeted Lewiston after they conquered Portland, and Paul Madore rallied the men of Lewiston, and I was at the pub, and I was there right at his side, and he said over my dead body, it went to referendum, and he got 67%. And he kicked their piney so hard, they never even thought about coming back to Lewiston, Maine, ever. And then he stood by my side for the next 20 years, and we kicked their hineys twice in statewide voting, outspent 10-1. Yeah, I probably took more than a minute, but this man has forgotten more than we're going to learn in this battle.
Has the scars to prove it, doesn't he? He has the scars to prove it.
Yeah, it's called two stints in my heart when my heart gave out last year.
I was in the hospital. Coach. I came and visited you. Hey, Paul, by the way. Polly just typed in there. Talk about the conference you just went with Michael Voris and what's going on in the laity of the Catholic Church.
Well,
I'm going to interrupt again. I forgot the most important fact about this man. He's a father of 9 and a grandfather of 36, and he homeschooled with Susan his 9 children. Mike,
so he knows what it's all about. Unbelievable. Mike. Go ahead, Paul.
So there's a lot of things to point at here, but what happened in Lewiston was a do or die thing. And God had nurtured me in such a tremendous way, and I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure out why I had become so gifted. I'm not being proud here. There was a transformation taking place in my heart, and I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand what was taking place, what was happening. I had 5 children at the time, and I started to listen. I was listening, And I could hear the lies and the deception of people around me, particularly those in leadership and government. They set the stage for that fight in Lewiston, and they lied to the people. And I knew they were lying. I knew they were lying. And I picked up the phone one day, and I called the tip of the spear of those lies. And I said, you're not going to do what you're thinking. And, well, they said, who's going to stop us? I said, we are. We're going to stop you. And, you know, but the thing is, I had to have the time to listen, where people are preoccupied with nonsense. And it's what makes them fearful. And what our colleague here,
Phil, yeah,
was saying,
you'll meet Phil in a minute. Go ahead.
What was saying about the negativity? People were taken up with negativity. I was praying a lot. I was going to church with my family. I prayed a lot with my family, and I could sense the transformation. You know what I'm talking about?
I've been there, bud.
You know, and I'm a builder by trade. I went to school. I have an associate's in architecture, but I came back to Maine from being in Florida for several years. And these things started to happen to me, and I was asking God, why are you doing this? Why am I becoming so emboldened? I couldn't sit still. I was ready to make a new hole in the wall just to get out of this transformation that was taking place, not to run from it, but to do the right thing.
Embrace it
and do the right thing. And it's about leadership. I'm here today because we have that leadership in Coach and others. Getting back to the fight in Lewiston, I looked at the Christian Civic League of Maine, and they had the kind of leadership, but they had it in Mike Heath, and he wasn't quite at the top yet. They had a director that wanted something I wasn't willing to give. It was a lot of manipulation going on, and I could sense that. Good instincts. You can't get into a fight unless you've got good instincts.
You better not,
because you're going to regret it. And I saw the leadership in Mike, and I could not believe it, Mike Heath. I just couldn't believe my eyes. Honestly, I just couldn't believe it. And so I stayed away until Mike inadvertently, was given the directorship of the league. And then we got to work.
You basically laid down your business, didn't you, Paul?
It was too strong. I couldn't fight half the battle. I had to fight it all. And I knew I was going to get hurt if I just fought half the battle.
30 years ago, folks, fighting for his children, his grandchildren, in the future of not only his family, but for this nation. He's been in the war.
Yeah.
So Paul, what's the, as you see it, with all that vast experience, as we sit here today in 2019, what's the problem, man?
Fragmentation. We're fragmented, and we have an overbearing influence of the media. We've got to get away from the drive-by media and the fake news. I think our leadership in Washington is doing that, is teaching us all how to do it. it's fragmentation. The problem is fundamentally is we're fragmented. I came here this weekend because I know Coach, and I wanted to meet his other colleagues and move forward and go to Chappaqua and make a difference. Do the right thing and make a difference. There's a lot of things we can do, but we've got to come together. We can't be separated. We just can't allow ourselves to be separated. Regardless of whether our doctrine is, my doctrine is very strong, and I'll stand behind it every inch of the way. But it got me here to this table to work with this man because he wants what I want.
Amen. Amen.
He wants what I want.
I'll open it up. Anybody want to ask Paul a question here? Hey, folks, listen. He doesn't have to be here. He just got back from a conference in Chicago, Detroit.
I want to let me hit that point on Michael Boris of the Church Militant. Okay, he's got a social platform, very powerful. The most dedicated man I've ever met in my life regarding the culture of death. This is what we're fighting here. We're all fighting the culture of death. Homosexuality is the culture of death, and it's in the church. It's in the Roman Catholic Church, and he's cleaning house.
Church Militant's taking on the Pope.
They're taking on every aspect of church life that is morally corrupt. And we've allowed them to do that because we've given them the money to do it with. Where there's corruption, there's money.
Where there's money, there's corruption. It works both ways, right?
Yes, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
So anybody have a question for Paul? He'll talk all day long, and it's all good. And you missed it because we went out on the boat last night and just cruised around the lake and chewed on each other's knees. It was good stuff.
It was great. Great fellowship.
We're going to do some more of it today. I'm expecting about 20, 25 people at our house tonight. Yeah. The remnant's gathering. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You're greatly mistaken if you cannot recognize a Christian man when you see one, despite what his theology might be. If you can't recognize a Christian man, there's something wrong with you. Okay? Somebody want to come in?
Hey, Paul, thank you, brother. Thank you very much for your dedication. We're behind you. We're with you, brother.
You're very welcome.
Well, Paul's with us. He came with no small sacrifice to be here.
Polly entered into the chat. Paul, tell us about the bomb threat in your house. Make it, people need to know.
What
happened there.
I had gone to church one morning, and I do every morning, actually. It's the very sustenance that drives me. And I was doing about 35, 40 miles an hour down 126 in Lewiston, and I noticed a family huddled together, wrapped in blankets. It brings tears to my eyes, really, because it really hit. And it was my family. We'd received a bomb threat.
And so you come home from church, and your family's outside, wrapped in blankets.
In a parking lot, probably about a mile away from my home. And with police, lights blazing, the whole thing. And I couldn't believe it. I just should have, I made a U-turn, probably illegally, and came back and wanted to know what they were doing then. There had been a bomb threat in my home. They did find packages that had been surreptitiously placed in areas that they shouldn't have been. It wasn't a real threat in the strict sense, but the caller said, "You better get out, your house is going to blow." And my wife took the call, and she took it serious. She called the police, and that's what they were doing there. And that's the kind of life you have to live. They do that to terrorize you, because that is the future of America if we don't respond.
So that didn't make you quit?
No, it only made me more serious.
That's right.
Yes. I can show you the letters I got in the mail from priests, Catholic priests, as well as lay people, fit to be tied, that we were doing what we were doing. So angry.
And Paul, let's be honest here. And I know you will, not that you're not. What? There's a cancer in the Catholic Church.
There is. Yeah.
Just take a brief minute. Because see, a lot of evangelifish like us, we've been, we've learned Catholic doctrine from, I was raised Catholic, learned Catholic doctrine from the outside, right?
Yeah, right.
And a lot of what we're seeing in the Catholic Church ain't Catholic.
No, it's not. It's not, and you can't be deceived by that. The good news is that help's on the way. There are many young men who have, who have entered the priesthood with a firm commitment, a diehard commitment to help restore the church. That's happening. We have to be part of that effort.
The homosexuals invaded and took it over and nearly destroyed it.
Yeah,
right.
That's right. Yeah,
and a new breed's coming along.
Oh yes, absolutely. Yeah, and we've got Catholic colleges throughout the country that are producing great men, and you'll see them in organizations all over the country. Family Research Council, Focus on the Family, many of these organizations are tapping in to the liberal arts education that these men and women are getting.
I'm going to say this before I throw a poll out here. Listen, I know a lot of evangelifish that aren't here. You hear what I'm telling you? Oh, I see those charismatic, they go in church and they sing the songs and they praise the Lord and they raise their hands. And who's sitting beside me?
And they tell you to calm down.
They tell me to calm down. And look who's sitting here beside me. And I'm going to tell you, I'll go to war with Israel much more confident than most of the phony Catholics, phony Christians I come across. I want to make that really, really clear, brother. When the Lord does something in a man's heart, you know he's your brother. Right? You with me?
Our God is so generous. So generous. He gives us a power beyond all telling.
Amen. Bless you, Paul. Yeah. I'm going to throw you out here. I'm going to bring Philip in here.
Hey, that's fine. Thank you for it's great.
All right. Huh?
Great.
That's something there. Isn't it? Is that something? I feel like I've got to lean over to get back in front of my camera because I'm kind of run over to the side here. That boy's all in. Hey. That boy's all in. 30 years all in. 30 years all in. I said to Paul yesterday, what if we could get 10% of the Catholics, Catholic men, and 10% of even jellyfish men to work and fight together? Can you imagine that? Wow. Philip's rolling in here now. Philip's a young guy I met when I went to, you guys remember 2 weeks ago? I think it's 2 weeks ago. I went to Dallas and spoke to the tea party down there. Ran into Philip. Philip's from Ohio. Philip went to Otterbein College, the same university that I went to. It was a better school when I went than it is now, but he went there. And he's been watching the show. Excuse me, he's been watching the show. And he showed up. And 2 weeks later, he's here. And he's a young guy, he's 32 years old. And saying, man, oh man, Philip, the heck, what brings you here? So I'm gonna turn it over and let Philip talk. He's got some great wisdom in there. What's going on, Philip, from your perspective and what you see? Well, first of all, what happened to you? Why aren't you out chasing girls and doing all that stuff like everybody else is?
I did that too. Yeah. Sort of led me to God, but sorry, I'm trying to remember my story for you guys.
Hang on here, man.
Yeah. Come hey, on, that's man. My logo, the eagle.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Go ahead.
My story is pretty much everyone's story. Middle-class family. Middle-class lifestyle, obviously. I guess my testimony is this. You know, I remember being, probably less than five, and remember my parents arguing at the dinner table and just hearing every word. And I had a little cubby hole in my room, and my dad had major anger and kind of still does, but major anger, and it really, you know, the enemy got in the marriage. And by the time I was seven, the divorce happened, and, you know, I still remember me and my mom in the station wagon driving down the road, and the dog chased us.
Mm.
The dog, my mom's dog chased us, and
wow,
absolute heartbreak. And you know, I only lived a mile or two from my dad in our original house, and life was what it was. You know, it was just separate and stuff like that. So, long story short, you know, a lot of loss, a lot of pain, a lot of heartbreak early in life. And, you know, just don't know why. And so go through high school and all that. And, you know, my parents wanted the best for me, and they always wanted me to go to college. So then I get my teenage years were pretty tough to get through all that. And by the way, by the time I was 17, they both got remarried. So even more heartbreak of, you know, now that I'm 30, I'm glad that they have someone, obviously. But anyway,
messed up your life, though, right?
A lot of questions, yeah. a lot of pain, a lot of anger, a lot of, you know, just need answers. Nowhere to go, no one to real talk to, no real man to help me. And so I get to college.
That's a turn it down a little bit over there. Go ahead. We're here in my multi-million dollar studio, and some people have crept in. Go ahead.
Anyway, I get to college and have a lot of all that in me. And then I joined a fraternity and kind of wanted to do the opposite in life and kind of be more popular and all that stuff. And then try to be a leader, try to be there for my guys. And at the end, they rejected me. They didn't want me to kind of take over the fraternity chapter and be president and stuff. And at that time, I'm like, you know, what am I doing hanging out with all these guys sitting in and stuff?
Right.
And so
institutions of lower living, right?
I had Christian friends too, and I got hooked up with Campus Crusade, went on to a mission trip, and then I had an accounting professor who was born again, spirit filled, and she said, hey, why don't you come? She knew I was like really grown in God, and she's like, hey, why don't you come out to Kansas City to IHOP? Some of you know what that is, and just go for it. And that's what I did. I risked everything in life that I had going for me and just went for it. I was so hungry and so broken and so hungry for God. I knew there was more. I just got baptized in Columbus, Ohio. And I said, you know what? I've seen adults do the mortgage, do the kids, do the car. I don't see happiness. I don't see full of life. I don't see full of joy. And, you know, there's got to be a reason why. And I just knew within me that the greatest adventure had to be living out a radical faith life. And I wanted that same testimony that our biblical heroes had, which was, especially from a man's perspective, which was, you know, fighting the wars for God, going on the huge adventures for God. And, you know, that's just kind of the life I wanted. And
living on the edge, baby.
And I didn't want any of the material stuff. It doesn't, it's not attractive to me. So it's not that I won't have a house and all that stuff.
Sure, but. Sure. So what did you meet us? What happened? How are you here?
Well, I found you guys through Hagman Report. I'm always on the lookout for kind of men's ministry and guys that are really going for it and not willing to, we talked about it this morning, not willing to die, right, honestly.
Just go, Phil, just so, go ahead and take 5 minutes and say what you said to Paul and I earlier today when we were sitting at that table.
Well, through my own testimony, as you've heard, you know, I know what losing is and I know what loss is. And most of the losing, you know, I had nothing to do with, and just things happen to us in life.
Stop there. Most of the losing we do, we have nothing to do with. All of our losing's forced on us. Go ahead.
And it's out of our control a lot of times. And so, it's a long testimony, but I eventually learned that God put in me to win, not just win for myself, but help other people win and teach them how to win. And so my life is about has been about losing and winning, and we don't know how to win as Christians. And how do I know this? Because I played a sport. I was a golfer for a long time and still enjoy it. But you know, golf's the ultimate selfish
man.
It's golf's about the ultimate self challenge.
Oh yeah.
And people say, oh, look how boring it is to knock a little plastic ball into a plastic cup. It has nothing to do with that. It's about everything in between that and all the invisible things. And as believers, we don't have an understanding of all the invisible things.
Say that again, brother, yeah?
And so I understood the Christian faith from golf, to be honest with you. I understood the self, you know, the self-talk and the self-beliefs and can I do this and can't I do this?
The internal battle that goes on when you're – Tiger Woods, what he just went through, that internal battle.
But Tiger Woods has an amazing and self-discipline, internal self-talk. He believes he can win. He knows he can do it. Unbelievable. But look at his moral life. Right. It's absolute in shambles.
Right.
And so, anyway, you know, Christians don't know how to win. We haven't been trained right. That's really been I think the missing thing is, sure, we've been spiritually taught things and got saved and born again, but we have not been trained correctly to go and fight the battles.
You do not even expect to win.
Look at the military soldiers. They understand the Christian faith better than Christians do because they understand the principles of fighting battles and being self-disciplined and all that stuff. But then if you go talk to them about knowing the Holy Spirit, having a faith life, all that stuff, they just kind of shut down. And you know, but anything in life, they're really ready to tackle the
regimented
challenges.
They know they can do it.
They know how to win.
Yeah, they know how to win. So. They know how to win, and Christians don't know how to win. Not only don't we know how to win, we don't expect to win. Better yet, what is it they say? I've read the Bible, and we win in the end. Dude, listen, I got some 20 years left. I'm going to win now. I don't want to win in the end. I understand he wins in the end. Did the Lord put us here just to win in the end? If it was just about winning in the end, then get rid of all the people and just let the devil and God's angels let them fight, and we all win in the end. It is so stupid, right? And while we are planning on winning in the end, they're coming into our libraries and teaching our kids to be sodomites. But we'll win in the end, right? I was going to go through a life of homosexuality, be lured into that, have his butthole bleed. He's going to find himself in bed doing things with another man's sexual apparatus. But we'll win in the end. We'll win in the end. Yeah, really. What about that family? What about those parents that have to deal with that situation and they're heartsick and their lives are broken because of what their son has been trapped in and their son's been trapped in it because why? Well, we win in the end. I'm not going to do anything to stop it, but we win in the end. It's foolishness.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Isn't occupy an action word? I mean, come on, right?
Yeah, that's right. That requires a little bit of skin in the game, though.
Hey, we win in the end, right, Cody? But listen, the Holocaust happened.
Turn it off, Vic. We can hear you. Good.
Look, the Holocaust happened, right? But
the Jews win in the end.
So the question is, do we allow another Holocaust?
Well, we win in the end.
That's the point. That's where it's headed. It's headed to a genocide of the Christian faith.
They're going to behead our children and our grandchildren, but we win in the end. They're gonna throw our grandchildren. They're gonna throw in prison, and they're gonna pull their fingernails out, and they're gonna torture. But we win in the end. We win in the end.
Hey, Coach, I wouldn't necessarily say we win in the end. The biblical sense of that, Jesus wins in the end, but that doesn't mean we're of that number.
Amen. Those 60 million babies, they win in the end. Those poor born babies, they're with Jesus. We win in the end. It's foolish. It's utter foolishness, and that's what we've been taught in church. Go ahead, Philip. Wang, hang on. Victor, I'm not going to let you because I'm going to bring you in here next, so don't try to come in here. Go ahead. Go ahead, Philip.
I can't forget what I was going to say.
Okay, it doesn't matter.
We've got to learn how to win.
We've got to win now.
And
Paul Modore, you think we can win?
Absolutely.
He knows we can win. You think we can win?
I know we can.
Not only do I think we can, I know we're going to, see. I know we're not only – we're going to advance the kingdom of God right here, right now. We're going to go to Chappaqua, New York, and we're going to advance the kingdom of God. That's what we're going to do, right? And I'm sorry that some of you can't see it, and I'm sorry that some of you think we're wasting our time. Listen, do me a favor. Get the hell out of the locker room, all right? Right. The hell out of there. Quit telling us what we can't do. Because we're going to go do it. And then we're going to allow God to move supernaturally through our little efforts. Because I think, crazy as this sounds, I think God wants to go now. Wait a minute. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth. At the end.
Why? What do you guys have to lose? Especially the men. You know, I really don't want to talk to the men, but what do you guys have to lose? You have everything to gain. And we know through the scriptures that through self-sacrifice only brings life. That's true life. And so guess what, guys? The mortgage is never going to give you life. The cars is never going to give you life. The popularity is never going to give you life. You name it, in the physical realm is never going to give you life.
What if you played as hard for the Lord as you do for you? Huh? What if you were all in for the Lord as much as you're all in for you? And why aren't you? Why aren't we? Well, because I can cruise through here because we win in the end. We win in the end. There's no need to win. How many people? The path to the end is going to be strewn with broken lives. What are we going to explain to them when we get to them? Hey, sorry, man. Sorry that happened to you. But look, we got the crown now. Sorry that happened to you, dude. Man, that's awful. I watched that happen. And, you know, I wanted to help. In fact, I even talked to my pastor. But maybe we ought to get involved and try to help you. But, you know, we didn't really. We were an elding project. We just couldn't really step out at that time and take a risk that, you know, we might offend some people. We had to get this. We had this beautiful parking lot. We just had it blacktopped. And we couldn't get involved with you, because if we got involved with you, there's some people in there they just wouldn't have been able to support. But listen, Coach, we've been behind you all the way, and listen, we know we win in the end. We're with you. That is rubbish.
It's an honor to take on Jesus' walk. Personally, it's an honor to have no reputation for on this, you know, for his sake.
What he said: take up your cross.
That's right.
Take up your cross. He said. Daily and follow after me. Carry your cross. Bear one another's burdens. If my neighbor's child is being indoctrinated into homosexuality in the government schools, folks, I hate to tell you this, I have a moral and Christian obligation to help him bear that burden, not allow that to happen to his children. Somebody else come in here. Does anybody think I'm crazy? Is anybody picking up what we're laying down here? Come on, y'all. It's you I'm talking to.
Coach, I like this young man's mentality. He's not caught up in materialism. And, you know, we can't preach that if we don't live it, Coach. We have to understand that this kingdom, it isn't about things. It's not about the creation. It's about the creator. It's not about the blessings. It's about the blessor.
Yes, man, Randy. And, you know, he didn't tell you this. He walked out. He walked away from the corporate world. He was chasing that for a while. He said, there'll be more to life than
well,
that.
To be honest with you, I thought, you know, Christians have to be in all spheres of society. We can't just give up the government anymore. We can't just give up boardrooms. We can't just give up everything in society and say, well,
The world's going to hell.
We win in the end, though, Phil.
Well, the world's going to hell is because we're not there. We're not there to stand up and speak up and not hate, not resent, but we're not there to represent the Lord and be his hands and feet.
Take a minute, Phil, and explain again how everything, we're constantly bombarded with defeat. Talk about that a minute.
Well, it all has to do with the Holy Spirit, to be honest with you, in my opinion. If we're always bombarded with defeat, that means we're tuned into the negativity of the enemy. And if we don't know if we're in a spiritual battle or not, most people think that church is going to Sunday service and going home and see you next week or, you know, whatever the case may be. But we have to know that we're in a spiritual battle, that most of our thoughts, quite frankly, are from the enemy, whether they're worry, fear, doubt, anxiety, whatever. That's the enemy.
Take captive every thought.
That's the enemy trying to take you out of the game and not fulfill your God-given destiny and finding your destiny. And so we have to know the Holy Spirit. This is the age of the Holy Spirit. I've never met Jesus physically. I love him to death. But most churches, that's all they say is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I love Jesus. I love the word. I love everything he said. But guess what? He said he'd never leave us. I have never seen him physically. But guess what? I've encountered the Holy Spirit. Like, it's in me.
Amen.
I know you experience the Holy Spirit. And to me, the first time I did, I just wanted to cry and be on my knees and face and it's a healing experience. I think most Christians have never had that because they're scared. They've been propagandized to say it's radical and it's a cult and it's all this and that. No, God calls you to come to him, to be reconciled to him, to be healed by him. And guess what? Then you're untouchable. No one can touch you in life.
Amen.
There's no government. Even Amen. They can put you in jail because they say Christianity is evil and all. You can be untouchable in jail, just like our heroes were in the scripture, and win the whole prison.
You know what I just realized?
Because there's a fire burning in you.
If we win in the end, why aren't we all in jail?
Right.
Huh? If we win in the end, could we win in the end in jail, or are we going to more likely win in the end sitting in front of our TVs watching Fox News? Either way, we win in the end, right?
Guess what, guys? Mainstream media is the devil's talking mouth.
It is his voice.
It's his voice to drive the negativity in you. So you have to turn the television off, and you have to start connecting with your local body of Christ that knows him, is on fire, and is willing to stand up.
And take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity in obedience to Christ.
Amen. So
we win now. We don't win in the end. We win now. And how we got this mentality that we're losers, that we're destined to lose. See, I hate to tell you this. It's doctrine. It's theology, right? The idea that it's going to get so bad, that God, it is going to get so bad here, that the God is going to snatch us out of here. It's so bad. That's a gospel of defeat, folks.
In my opinion.
That's a gospel of giving up turf.
Amen.
Psalms 144:1, coach.
What's it say, Dale?
He teaches my fingers to war and my hands unto battle.
He teaches my fingers to war and my hands unto battle. Battle what? The forces of darkness. Where? In this natural earthly realm. This is not hard. Oh, it's hard. It's scary. It's difficult, but it isn't hard. Somebody else, come on in. Victor, get down here. We need guys like this. There are guys like this all across America. They've had it with the shallowness of life. They've had it. Right? They've had it.
See, but they just didn't know that they had like-minded people around, and this is a show to tell them that. This is a show. You guys are not alone. We're all with you, all brothers and sisters in Christ.
Before I bow out, I would just say this, and the one counterpoint to our previous co-host, which is leadership, yes, is needed, and that, you know, the coach is an activator for all of us in setting the example. By the way, that's what manhood is, right? Setting the example, doing what's right. The counterpoint I would have is that's the enemy has even used our leaders against us, which we've worshiped our leaders as God, as Christ. We've relied on one man to represent all of us. And guess what? One person
cannot do everything.
Nope.
So we have to kill the idea that we elect this person or this person's the CEO and they're going to fix all the problems. Guess what? It's on our shoulders, our responsibility to team together, be the hands and feet of Christ, and do our best. Just show up. Just show up. It doesn't have to be perfect. We live in a perfectionistic society, results society, all that stuff. It has nothing to do with Scripture. It has nothing to do with being in the kingdom.
Yeah, so, let me tell you something. Blasphemy coming your way here. You ready for it?
So my point is, don't worship Coach like a god.
That's right. Don't you dare do this. Here's some blasphemy. You ready? Grown men, you out there? Grown men? I quit calling my pastor. I started listening to the shepherd, the good shepherd. And I quit calling my pastor to get his approval for what the Holy Spirit told me I should do.
Amen. Amen, Coach.
Blessed is
the man, Coach. Amen.
Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or sit in the seat of the scornful. And I'm going to tell you something. The average pastor in America is afraid. He's afraid. And when you go to him and you say to him, Pastor, I'm going to go to Chappaqua, New York. What do you think? What does he immediately do? He's thinking, wait a minute. I might have to go. Well, Coach, you better pray on that, brother. You better pray on that. You know those Clintons, and you know you get messing with some stuff there, Lord. I said, oh, yeah, but Pastor, I ain't worried about that because I win in the end. And since I win in the end, I'm going to throw it under the bus right now because we win in the end. Will you come with me? Oh, brother. So listen, I stopped calling them. They ain't coming. They're supposed to be leading, and they're hiding. Some of you need to man up and grow up. If you're not man enough to get into your Bible and be discipled by the Bible and by the Holy Spirit, there's no hope for you. If you think you have to go, if you are a grown man and you have to go get your pastor's approval, there's something wrong with you. Well, let me ask you something. You get your pastor's approval before you sleep with your wife? Hey, honey, I don't know if we can do it tonight. Let me call Pastor Bob and ask him. Hey, Pastor Bob, it's been 2 weeks. Yeah, brother, go ahead. The Lord will bless that. You good. What is wrong with us?
So I'd say, Coach, call me. I'll just give you my blessing as a pastor.
Amen. Thanks, Philip. Yeah. Come on in here, somebody. Come on in
here. Hey, Coach.
Mature in the Lord. That's what I'm saying. Get grown up. Yes.
Hey, I talked to Richard Rapp yesterday. Him and I discussed.
He's all over the news again.
We talked about the Delaware County and Licking County, the drag queens come to the library. And I told him, I said, they allow this, they're going to be in Knox County next. They'll just invade every one of them. Right. So we talked a little bit about it, and he talked about the people. They're talking about this. They're talking about it. I said, Richard, let's do this. Let's just block the doors. Some of us go to jail. Let's don't let that drag queen in there. We're not going to let them get our kids. He said,
hang on, Jeff. Just take off and finish. Why are we giving drag queens equal voice? Somebody explain that to me. Go ahead, Jeff.
So Richard liked that idea. And I said, Richard, we will get some brothers rounded up. And whichever library they do first, that's where we're going to go. He's
make
like,
sure cool. Michelle knows. Michelle, make sure, we'll make sure you know, Michelle, so you can bring your demonic crew with you. So you write it down, Sonny. You stay close to the show, and we'll tell you where we're going to be. And you can come. You can come and act like a fool.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, I'm with you, Jeff. Huh? Listen, Jeff. You know why I decided I'm going to go to jail? Because we win in the end. We win in the end. So I can wait till the end in jail, or I can wait till the end in my living room. It doesn't. We win in the end.
Coach, we practice the fight, and
this is Victor. This is Victor. Go ahead, Vic.
This is your neighborly Mexican down there from El Paso. Let me tell you, speaking about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit of God, remember that's one of the things that you do that you're not going to get forgiven for. So you better be careful how you walk, and you better be careful who you believe. There's only one to believe, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. When you chide the Holy Spirit of God, that's going to be with you forever. So be careful what you do. Be careful who you believe. because some of these pastors, they all they speak is untruth. They never bring you the true gospel. Remember, the manna from God, it's for all. It's for all. But if you go to the pastor and the pastor just he decides to keep the manna and he wants to give you something else, be careful what you eat.
Amen. Amen. What brought you here, Vic?
Oh, I want to go to the party, brother. I want to go see Hillary handcuffed and taken to at least to jail. Vic, I would like to see
nobody
her go
beats,
to the...
Nobody beats the Clintons. You're wasting your time.
Yes. There's one person that will stomp on her, and that's God. And it's coming. This right here is a biblical marker. This thing right here, it's not political. It's not about the Dems. It's not about the Democrats or the Republicans. No, it's about Hillary and all her indiscretions. Everybody's forgotten that she was involved in some tainted blood that came out of the Arkansas penitentiaries, and she went ahead and certified that that blood was HIV free. And then it turns out that more than 3 million people were impacted by it. I think I'm not really sure about this number, but it was real close to 750,000 people passed on from that. So
so listen, Vic, because I get the emails. All right. They say, Coach, Hillary's just a pawn. Coach, she's just a pawn. You can go after Hillary, but Coach, she's just taking orders. I hope they try to prevent us, because I'm going to sue you for $1 billion and I will own 15 Old House Lane. I'm going to tell you.
30 acres will be easy money.
That's right, brother. People to peacefully assemble and to do what? To petition the government for a redress of grievances. There's your First Amendment. Amen. I got a grievance against my government. Do you have a grievance against your government? I'm going to go petition them. I'm going to go have a peaceful assembly and petition them. Hey, Coach, why is this playing in my ear? I did just say all that. Jared just came alive. That's why we're hearing this over and over again now, Jared. I can argue with anybody, but I can't argue with me. And I'm playing in my ear. I can't. There, I don't hear me.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, I'll be right with you. If they stop me from going there, I'm going to sue them too.
Because you know why, Paul or Phil?
Amen, Serge.
We're on the offensive, huh? We're going to win, baby. We're going to win.
First to 30, Coach.
We'll own Chappaqua.
First to 30.
Hey, folks, do you hear what I'm telling you? I hope they come out. I hope they bring Mayor de Blasio with them. I hope they bring, that governor, what's his name? I hope they bring him with them. I'm going to sue them all. We will own Chappaqua. Own Chappaqua. Because that First Amendment right there, baby. Right there, amendment. Let's read that again, because this all runs together. And see, we've let them take freedom of religion. They've partitioned that off from freedom of speech. Just one by one, they're hacking them off. They're blacking them out. What? They're redacting them. They're covering them up. Just one. Oh, yeah, you don't have that one anymore. And you don't have that one anymore. And you don't have that one anymore. And you don't have that one anymore.
They call them Mayor Howe in Spanish. It's Mayor Como.
Congress shall make no law respecting. Are you ready? Boom. Here we go. An establishment of a religion. And then they can't prevent you exercising your own personal religion. Exactly. They can't prohibit your freedom of abridging the freedom of speech. They cannot stop your freedom of the press, Facebook.
Amen.
Huh? They cannot stop the right of the people to go and peacefully assemble.
Amen.
To redress the government, to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That is one continuous right. And they all flow together.
And we got a big grievance.
And listen, FBI, we'll sue you too. We will sue you too.
We want to see Hillary at the gallows, bro.
We're going to win.
Well, I
volunteered to build. Listen, are you winning yet? You know what Trump says? You tired of winning yet? I'm not tired. Listen, we're going to win. We're going to win now. Say, oh, Coach, I can't even watch you. You're so full of the flesh. There's something wrong with you, dude. If you're saying that, there's something so wrong with you. I'm a walking dead man, baby. I'm a walking dead man. And if you don't have the spirit in you to understand the anointing that's upon what I do, I don't even know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. Somebody help me wrap it up. We got 2 minutes here.
We have a horse that's a little bit better looking than Hillary.
He'll win in the end, though. That horse will win in the end. That's right. He'll win in the end. Go ahead, Vic. I didn't mean to step on. It so ticks me off.
We got a horse that's a little bit better looking than Hillary, and he'll be the one kind of propping her up so we kind of put a noose around her neck.
Amen. Right. Hey, do you think we'll have opposition in Chappaqua? I hope. I hate to show up for a fight and the other team doesn't come. I hope there's some opposition.
I want to see it.
My heart's beating fast right now. Oh, I can't wait to go. Let's go play this game, man. Let's get this thing on. This thing you know the other team will tackle you? They'll hit back? So really? Yeah, hit right back.
All right.
You know what's crazy?
Coach,
they're used to
praying psalms over you.
Here's what it is.
Praying the psalm. It says, arise, O Lord. Take up that shield and buckler and smash my enemy. Do that through Coach and the Men this weekend in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Listen, here it is. Here's the Christian man. You ready? Boom, they hit you. Boom, they hit you. Boom, they hit you. But we win in the end. Huh?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Tomorrow morning,
the
abortion clinic. Schrock and Carr Road, 9 to 11. Anybody locally will be there.
Saturday, 9 o'clock, Schrock and Carl, as I just said, 9 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah, 9 to 11.
We got a bevy of rental cars.
We'll be on our way.
We're going to pick them up. We're going to drive. On our way
getting around the toll roads because we're not going to pay one penny for toll roads tomorrow.
You mean to tell me the city of Chappaqua thinks they can prevent us from coming into that community? That we need a permit to drive into town and get out on the sidewalk? We need a permit?
Really?
What?
Where's Roger?
Yeah. Huh?
Where's Roger? An injunction. Hey,
the Lord is my defense, baby. The Lord is my defense.
Amen.
That's, hey, Coach, did you get a permit to be out here? I said, I sure did. Thomas Jefferson gave it to me. Him and John Adams, they gave me that permit, and I'm going to exercise it right here, baby.
Yeah. Listen,
until we storm the gates of hell, until we attack these false idols and these false gods, until we say here we come in the name of the Lord, whom you have defied. And this day we're going to feed your flesh to the fowl of the air. Until we get that type of attitude, they're going to continue to push us around, and our only hope will be that we win in the end. I think the Lord wants us to win now. Pray for us. God bless you.
God bless you.
We'll see you on Monday.